When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Ironcast, and it is a dream guest, Ginge. I'm going to say it. I know I say this every week, but this man, the times he gets.
That's not a good intro. I say it every week. That really makes me feel great.
Makes him feel comfortable. Generally, one of my favourite people in the world, not just in football, in the world.
When we get players on from around that 2006 era, like, I get really excited, and I'm really excited today. You've heard him already. It's Bobby Zamora. Welcome. Can I say welcome back home?
I was waiting for a roar there. Oh, no, it's dead silent.
Round of applause.
Can I say you're back home today? You're here at London Stadium. I consider you, the rumour was always you're a West Ham boyhood fan. Do you? And I think West Ham fans have you in their heart. Do you feel like you're home right now? We're in the London Stadium.
Well, this doesn't feel like home because obviously never played here, but certainly, yeah, obviously a West Ham fan who I grew up supporting and had the dream of maybe one day playing for him managed to happen. So, yeah, I'm a West Ham fan. Always keep my eye out for the team.
Who was your favourite player growing up? I'm going to test you.
When I first went, I went to go and see my first ever game was West Ham versus Oxford at Upton Park.
Classic.
And I think, yeah, massive. I don't know if that was a cup game or something like that.
Was it like 4-3 West Ham?
Good God, I don't remember that. I don't remember the scoreline, to be honest. But there's a big box at my parents that actually has that programme in there from that date. I know that for sure. But growing up, it would have been Frank McAvenny, George Parris, were the strikers then, and then it turned into sort of Tony Cotty a little while after. So those would be the strikers from West Ham that I sort of looked as a kid.
Oh, man.
Legends.
You were a big deal, Bobby. Like, even from, we were just saying, like, when you were at Brighton, I remember...
You're very excited today.
Yeah, do you remember a Championship manager? There was rumours of Bobby Zamora. This guy at Brighton's unbelievable. And I don't know if you remember that when you came out on, like, Championship manager and you were just unbelievable.
No, didn't play it. Got a life, mate.
I got a life.
Go home and play myself.
But there was so much hype. What was it like to be in that, like, in that moment where everyone was talking about it? Everyone was like, you've got to watch this guy.
To be honest, mate, just genuinely, when I was at Brighton, obviously playing against the big Ginge and Gabs at the time, it was just playing games, scoring goals, so just enjoying footy. I don't know, you certainly, you know, I mean, the Cardiff boy in Cardiff, it must have been a buzz for you as well. But I just wanted to play football and score goals. And we had a little rivalry between Brighton and Cardiff because we were in the same division and fighting for promotion every single year. Or three years.
Well, yeah. Bobby was doing, like, it just seemed, I remember coming in after we'd played at Cardiff and you'd see Zamora hat trick. It just seemed, you were scoring like 30, 40 goals a year at Brighton, weren't you?
Yeah, it was a good place for me. I was scoring a lot of goals, but like I say, that rivalry was there because it was me at Brighton and they had Robert Earnshaw at Cardiff, and it was literally like, Ginge, come in, see how Cardiff got on.
Yeah.
Earnshaw, okay, he scored again. So I scored.
Honestly,
all
they
right.
were just and, in that, what sort of, like, I was trying to think, was that Div 2 maybe?
Div 2
and then Div 1, both went up.
Both went up, didn't we?
But it just seemed like, just mentioned him, Robbie Earnshaw and Bobby, they were scoring like, I think Robert Earnshaw scored 38 goals 1 year, and I think you probably nipped him that year as well.
I took the two golden boots home no season. So sorry, Rob.
There was a rivalry with us going up, but I always remember Bobby and Ernie. I don't think you ever, Ernie never said it to me anyway, but I always remember him wanting to beat Bobby. If he beat Bobby, he was going to be top goal scorer, that's for sure.
What and was it wasn't. Like coming up against Bobby then, Ginge?
Yeah, it was tough. It was tough. There's no.
Did he leave a bit on you?
No, he wasn't that sort of player. He was just tough. You knew if he had a chance, he was going to score. And it was, I remember me and Gab speaking before games when we were playing against Bob, just like, you've got to be on it today because anything dropped to him or, you know, any chance he got, it was a goal. But always had a bit of crack as well. I always remember her having a bit of banter and having a laugh. But we were sort of, me and Gabs obviously came to West Ham and Bobby obviously was going to move on and onto better things. There was always talk of me and Gabs moving on, and I'm sure it was the same for Bob at Brighton. Eventually, we were going to move on, but those times, I always say it. I think that's where I learned my football, really, in those lower leagues growing up, certainly as a centre half, playing against unbelievable players like Bobby. So yeah, just great memories, same as what Bobby says, just having a good time, youngster playing football every week and just loving it.
Your whole career ahead of you.
It doesn't get any better. Like, I know a lot of young kids are coming through here and they're not really getting a chance to play first. Listen, it's the Premier League course that, you know, there's so much pressure on it, so much on it now. But for me, as a young player now, if I was here at West Ham, obviously we went the M25 round, didn't we? We went the hard way to get to the top. But these kids that are at the top already or at top clubs, I would say to them, go out and play football because... honestly, it's just such a buzz, isn't it? Brilliant. Nothing like first team football. Mm. I know 23s, and maybe there's a little bit of an ego thing with those guys dropping down, but playing first team football, honestly, the buzz. Travelling around the country, so many stadiums, so many fans, just seeing it all. I wouldn't change it for the world.
Also, like playing for Brighton, you were a big deal. Brighton weren't the kind of mega powerhouse they are now at the time. Like you said, they were in Division 2. So like, you were a huge name in that city. What was it like? Could you even get around town, kind of thing?
Yeah, just honestly, it was just normal. I don't know. Just a few fans and whatever. But
was it the With Dean, wasn't it?
With Dean, yeah.
With the
yeah.
track.
Wasn't even a proper football stadium, athletics track around it and some like put up sort of stands. But what a fortress it was for us.
Yeah, it was a tough place to go. I remember being there and I was a This is years before I actually got, well, I was just getting into the Cardiff team on the bench. And I was on the bench and I got shouted to go on by Alan Cork, I think was our manager at Cardiff at the time. And I left my shirt in the dressing room. And can you remember how far away it was?
Yeah.
So I'm there now as a youngster thinking, I'm having a right panic up here now. I've got to warm up and I haven't got a kit. I've had to run round up some steps, wasn't it, to a dressing room, get me shirt, back down and manage to get there before the gaffer wanted to make a sub. Most horrific experience of my life, I think, forgetting my shirt there.
Amazing. I want to pick up on something Ginger said, that you used to have a bit of banter when you were on opposition teams. And Bobby, you've got a great chat. Were you a talker in matches then? Were you like constantly having a bit of banter in the game? Yes, you must have been.
I don't know. It depends who you're up against, really. You get the vibe very early on.
If they want to chat or not.
Yeah, whether there's, you know what I mean? You've got your Ivanoviches who want to stick your head through the back of your head from the get-go. Or someone, it's normally the British lads, really, who've got a majority of the time have got a little bit of banter or got something about them. Or you come across them with for many, many years. And So there's a bit of banter goes on. And
one of the funniest men in the dressing room.
Yeah, I've heard the stories.
And a lot of people will say that, I think, as well.
Yeah. But actually, you played for another iconic East London club, Senrab, that produced so many great young kids, like John Terry, Paul Konchesky, yourself. Who were your mates back then?
Yeah, those guys. Ledley King was part of the team, J. Lloyd Samuels as well. But sleepovers at their houses, just
mad,
the normal sort of stuff you do as kids. And as a kid, you think, right, yeah, one of us may go on to make it pro. You know, that's what you're sort of told. Maybe one of your Cardiff team, one of your, you know what I mean, Sunday side may go on, one of your county side may go on to make it pro. It's crazy when you look back and there's five of us that got fully England international caps, really, that come from one Sunday side.
How good were you then? You're not a smash.
Yeah, we were like 20-0 and stuff like that.
No, it was a good old league. It was in some good players, you know, in East London and in London in general. So, we won the League Cup and all those bits and pieces. But yeah, it was good. It was a good side. I think nine of them actually made it pro, which is mad. Yeah. Not in the Premier.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is mad. That's not happening again.
No.
So we're getting on to now you joining West Ham, and actually there's a little 6-month spell, isn't there, at Tottenham Hotspur?
Yeah.
And it seems like you had a bit of a tough time there. You only scored one goal and that was against West Ham.
Do you know what?
I never knew that. The League Cup.
I didn't know that.
And it was like, obviously I'd gone there and I wanted to do well, desperate to do well. Premier League side, some great lads as well, like Robbie Keane and Ledley was there, and a good changing room, to be honest. And obviously I managed to get a start and I managed to score against West Ham. And I remember the ball going in the back of the net, obviously Anton, slow as normal, not getting on me, not sharp enough, and managed to finish. And I remember celebrating and thinking to myself, oh, that's not really great.
Was it Upton Park?
No, it was Spurs. So it was in like, do you know what I mean? But like, yeah. I think we weren't going crazy, but it was just like the relief of scoring a goal, really. But yeah, the one goal was unfortunately against West Ham. And yeah, I think it was 1-0 the score as well. So, but yeah, listen, it was not a short time. It was an enjoyable time for me though to go and learn and play with those guys. But yeah, that, like you say, the January had come, Glenn Hoddle had gone, and I actually had two options. I had West Ham, transfer deadline day, West Ham, and I had Leeds as well. And Leeds were in the Prem at the time. And for me, it was like an absolute no-brainer. Like, just want to go play for West Ham, play some football as well. So, yeah, obviously chose West Ham, which was magnificent. And yeah, I remember the debut. I remember away debut, home debut against Cardiff as well. I think Gabs was playing. Bang.
I think I would have.
You would as well. 1-0, I think that was kind of. But I remember going out at Upton Park, genuinely, I'm forever blowing bubbles, being played, the hairs on the back of my necks, you know what I mean? And singing it as well as you're going out.
You're singing it.
But I was on the pitch then. So, like, it wasn't as you're walking out the tunnel. By the time I was, like, actually singing was on the pitch. But I remember it like, oh, man, mad. Yeah. Man, do well. And yeah, managed to score on my home debut as well. I think it was 1-0, but...
I think it might be 2-1.
Was it 2-1? Yeah, maybe.
Against Cardiff?
Yeah, against Cardiff.
Yeah, me and Gabs, I remember it. I got a picture in the house and me and Bobby are battling for a ball.
Well, you're in the car, you play for Cardiff?
Yeah, you play for Cardiff.
Silly Ginger Barnett.
Yeah, big hair.
Big hair. Aside from West Ham, fellow.
You and Marlon seem to have almost straight away great chemistry together. Did it feel like that? Did it happen? Something that happened straight away?
Well, I was the brains and he was the brawn. So... if you say it like chalk and cheese, yeah, maybe. But listen, yeah, I suppose Ginger tell you, I had the intelligence of a great striker. Yeah. And Mazza had that pace and that power and just run people down, really. So, but no, listen, got on with Maz. He works hard for the team. Would always throw his hands up in the air at you lot. But
always,
but we know he'd run the channel and work hard.
Just keep putting the ball in the channel. Maz will keep running.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, yeah, just a good connection with Maz. And obviously then Teddy came in as well, which was great for me to learn from Ted. I mean, he's amazing. I think 40 years of age, still playing, still fit, still like his press-ups and his sit-ups that he used to do every single day after training. Just learn from him because he was
amazing. Dean Ashton came in a couple of weeks back and he said exactly the same about Ted being in. I was a bit in awe of Ted, to be honest. You know, it's one of them, Teddy showing him what he had done. But I remember when he was doing finishing sessions, I always used to get involved in the finishing sessions, didn't I?
Yeah, ruining it for us.
Thinking I was a centre.
Yeah, and everybody loads. You know, obviously, the strikers want to get as many shots in as possible. We've got 20 balls or something like that. And another 7-8 people turn up. Yeah. You end up one in every 20 shots. He's like, but no, Ginge could finish, to be fair.
I've heard this rumour. I think you might be spreading it.
That's not a rumour, it's true. I used to fancy myself. I was centre forward. Centre fireworks. But I could see Ted then, like the way he was with the boys and just the dressing room in general, the lads we had in it was, you talk about that team 2005-06, that sort of time. We had an incredible bond and team.
It's an interesting thing because I think by 2005-06 season, it's a great team. You can tell there's a togetherness there, but it didn't feel like as a fan that togetherness was there in that dressing room that you walked into. Like, we'd just been relegated. You joined halfway through the season. Results weren't brilliant. We weren't right at the top of the league, but we were in the playoffs. What was it like in the dressing room that you walked into?
I came halfway through, obviously, of that season you're talking about. The dressing room was okay. We had good, young, sort of
had the
English
season.
Players. Yeah, English lads as well. So you're all on the same page. You all know that, listen, if you're told to run around. And you all grasp it. Whereas, you know, Ginger would tell you, sometimes there are players that come in, don't really give a and are more thinking about a paycheck. And there's, you have to have a fine balance, I think. I personally think, anyway, about a few English lads. If you're certainly a London club, you've got to have a few English lads that will give one or two people a slap that, hey, listen, this is, and Ginger would be one of those ones. Listen, need to pull your finger out now or else. But that change room was good. But the likes of Ginge signing, Gabs, you know, the lads that we did sign.
Conch came the same year, didn't he?
Yeah, just added to it. Like I say, those, so young as well, mate. When you look back, you know, Rio Coker, McAnuff and Hayden and Anton, me, you, Gabs, Conch,
like all around the same sort of, like, I think I was 21 when I signed for West Ham. Gabs, a couple of years older. Just a great dressing room. Like Bobby says, we had a mix of the youngsters who were doing really well. Bobby, Anton, Nigel Riococo was our captain at 20, was he, maybe?
Yeah, Madge.
But then I said it before, we had Teddy and Malky Mackay was still about. So it was just a great mixture, wasn't it? And we all worked really hard.
I want to talk about what I consider to be the best night I ever had over Upton Park, which people don't really talk about because of the way the playoffs ended in that first season you were at West Ham. But it was the Ipswich game, semi-final of the playoffs. Mm. 1-0 down after the first leg. We needed to win by 2, basically, and we won 2-0. Mm. The atmosphere was incredible. I wanted to ask, like, so many questions, but the one I want to ask is, how wound up were you all as players and beforehand? Did Pards actually have to calm you down? Because it just felt like the whole thing was frenetic from the start.
I don't know. For me, I think that we were just in such a good place. I personally was myself, just in terms of, yeah, you're just in that, as a striker, you're in a zone where, listen, when it falls to me, I'm going to score. So, yeah, you've had the games leading up towards the playoffs. And I was okay. I was in an all right place. And just, yeah, those playoff games came along. And, yeah, I was just in a great place. But like I say, the changing room, just knowing that everybody's going to give it their all. And knowing that we're a good side, some good players in there as well. So, it's just when I don't think we were nervous. I don't remember feeling nervous at all about any of those playoff games. Just confident.
Wow.
I wasn't really a nervous player.
I was a nervous player.
Just, yeah, go and play. Like, yeah, it's horrible. But if we lose the game, I wouldn't go home and sulk about it. Gone. Right. All right. Done.
Playoff final that first season. I just don't know what happened. What's your theory?
I don't know. I really don't know. For me, like I say, I come in January, so yeah, maybe not personally like finding my feet, but I didn't really know everybody fully, I think, then. But I don't know, it was a bad day for us. I didn't feel confident in that one. Not didn't feel confident, but I don't think the team felt like it was the year after. The year after, we was like, I knew it was happening. Knew it was going to happen, really. Like, even if we, that Preston game, we went 1-0 up. If they'd have scored, we'd have gone up a gear again, 100%. We just knew there's enough that we've got plenty in the tank. We'd be all right.
Brilliant. I love this confidence. I wish you could bottle it. That second season, the high point for me was, again, Ipswich in the playoffs. We have him again in the semi-final, but the Portman Road, the away leg, the second leg, the Bobby and Marlon show. Mm. People still talk. I imagine it must be one of the big things people talk about to you, but you and Marlon were just on insane form all night.
Yeah, it was good. He came in with a couple of assists, which is rare for him, to be honest. Which is rare for him, you know. Old Vicehead. I get that in because that's a classic, isn't it? Vicehead. Looks like his head's been squeezed by a vice, just in case you didn't know or never heard that one before. Maz is absolutely fuming now. Delete this, get this off the internet. Maz have come up with a couple of good assists. One of that diagonal ball was absolutely ridiculous, wasn't it? And just, yeah.
It's one of the goals I love to watch because your touch is so deft. It's like,
yeah,
just a tap.
Yeah, a little side foot back across the keeper. And yeah, keeper's just watch it. Don't bother, mate.
And so we get the playoff final again, second year in a row. The second of 3 years we'd end a season at Cardiff. Mm. And this time you're getting the winner against Preston.
Yeah.
And West Ham fans hadn't really tasted success like that since the FA Cup in 1980. And the scenes of delirium in the stand. What did it feel to deliver that moment for the West Ham fans?
Obviously, a lot of friends and family, West Ham fans. So the phone, obviously, beforehand and the whole lead up to it. Number of tickets you all get, which is mad. You end up out of pocket. Yeah, don't you? Yeah, you know what I mean? Oh, it's horrible. Actually, worse, really.
FA Cup final.
Oh, yeah. I don't. Just again, an absolute buzz and knowing and seeing it and understanding what it means to the fans beforehand because of the friends and family leading up to it, knowing that result, that 90 minutes and how many people are going to be absolutely buzzed with it. And obviously we had the parade after, which is a nice little touch. And
how much was that goal worth, Bob?
Which one, mate?
The first one, West Ham. I know you've done it a couple of times.
But also, like, genuinely, I think that is one of the most important goals in West Ham's recent history, because We were out of the parachute payments after that. And it's like, what would happen to the team? It's massive.
That's one thing I remember, actually, that second year and that being spoken about. Obviously, a lot of the people, the staff at the training ground and at the groundsman, whoever it may be, those guys actually, you know, if we don't, their heads could be on a chopping block, really, which brings it certainly down to earth and brings it home for you that people that you see and interact with daily can be affected on this one result. So it's sweet and it's really nice to score that goal and set the club for a little bit, really, and hopefully we can build on that, which we managed to do.
Do you remember the night out after it?
No.
No,
I don't. Go on.
You want to jump in? No, I don't. I wasn't there.
No.
I've got no stories on it. I was hoping you had a couple. I could just imagine what I'd be doing if I was in that team.
Bit of a scuff finish though, wouldn't it, for that winner?
Yes, mate. Yeah, don't matter how it goes doesn't in, matter. Though, mate. Doesn't care at all if they go in.
It's the back of the net. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
It's the decider. Be there as West Ham United attempt to secure a spot in the last 16 of the UEFA Europa League against SC Freiburg on Thursday, the 14th of December at 8 p.m. in a match that will determine who finishes top of the group. It's all to play for in another huge night under the lights at London Stadium. Tickets start at just £35 for adults and £15 for juniors. Get yours now at eticketing.co.uk/WHUFC. or by calling 0333 030 1966. And then, we're back in the Premier League. And then Ginge, you're in. Like, the atmosphere.
We go and spend that money on Ginge.
No, I took both of us, and
you
Gabs.
You and Gabs, yes.
Cheap, deal though.
Cheap.
What was it? 3.5 for me and Gabs.
3.5, mate, honestly.
I think 3 mil for Gabs, 500 grand for me. I think it was, I swear.
Nah, mate, honestly.
Absolute snip.
Money well spent. And I never saw a penny of that either, by the way. You should be fine. Yeah. I never realised that me scoring that goal to open up the door,
for me.
Play Premier League football.
That's true.
You can thank me when you want.
No problem. Thank you, mate.
Oh, there you go. He got it eventually, didn't he? Jesus.
I thought you were thinking financially.
No, not financially, mate. Just the fakes.
Oh, man, the excitement around that season to be back in the Premier League. I wanted to ask about Pards, because how did you get on with him? A lot of players in that era say they just love playing for him. Was that your experience?
He was good. Chocolate, wasn't he? You know what I mean? His nickname was Chocolate, because if he could, he'd eat himself, wouldn't he? If he could. I remember doing a practice one day, and he was out wide, and me pinging a ball out there, and obviously he was having himself. He was doing his barn doing it and everything, and whipping it in. I think it was the end of the season, towards the end of the season. So the pitch was nice, but new balls and like nice sunny day, and he was proper having himself, crossing a couple. And we were like, "Get on him, get on him!" Granty was out there, so we were just pinging it out, and then the forwards doing a little crossover, and Bywater's in goal. And as I've got, get on this, boys! I pulled the ball and I've zinged it out to him. Yes, and he was, and that was it. He was going, "Boys, you got a shout. You really need to be vocal in the box. You really need to be vocal." And we're like, "Oh, okay." So I ping it out to him. As you're making a run, you're supposed to call out, "Yes," like near post, back post, wherever it was. As I pinged it, I'm running in there. I don't know who my partner is. I'm running across the near post and I'm like, "Yes, Chocolate." And everyone's roaring. You just hear everyone roaring. And he's like, obviously giving us that, all that, as he crosses the ball. And the ball's come over towards my head and I'll look to see where the keeper is first. And Bywater is laying on the floor,
laughing.
Roaring, sir.
You think he knew we called him Chocolate?
I don't know, but
that time
I don't know, but yeah, Granny. I remember Granny roaring on the floor. But no, listen, Pards was good. Pards was good. He was easy, wasn't he, really?
I said he was the first, me and Gabs coming in that year, he was the first manager I had seen really actual coaching. Remember the little session he used on the training pitch, taking the back four or the defenders and actually doing the coaching. So I've said it to Chris before. I got a lot to thank him for. Obviously, he signed me. But I really enjoyed that first year. I enjoyed anyway.
Yeah, he was good. He was good. So gave a lot of players freedom, didn't he, I think? To go and express
sort
themselves.
Sort of had a good mix, didn't he? There's no doubt we enjoyed ourselves as well, but when it came to it on the pitch, we were all at it, to be fair.
You had such a long, storied career, Bobby. Where does that 05-06 team sit in your favourite teams you ever played with?
Yeah, really good. Just because there's the whole training ground, like the banter in the...
It was unreal, wasn't it?
Just so good. Yeah, it was just so, so good. Really, really was. Just some funny characters in there. And I used to really enjoy just getting up, getting into training as soon as I can, having breakfast at the training ground and watching everyone come in and just like pummel them as they come through the door. Really, just absolutely buzzed off it. Honestly. And then the results, the games that we played, you know what I mean? Yeah.
What are your highlights? I mean, beating Arsenal at Highbury.
Yeah, last Souls, last
Lasagna
Gate,
the FA Cup run. What is it for you? What are your favourite?
Can we talk about what you did to Sol Campbell that night?
Yeah. Do you know what?
That game at Highbury.
Oh, come on.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, because I thought I was actually wanted. I thought I was actually a dead man after.
Yeah.
After the game, obviously my phone is like, I think Ashley Cole messaged or Johnny Fortune, a few of the other boys that I knew. Mate, what are you saying about Sol? Mate, everyone's lip reading.
Really?
What you're saying, like, because I was saying, get off Sol, because this lot were going, oh, mate, he's gonna eat you alive, mate, he's gonna smash you, he's gonna, like, you're dead, mate, you're not even gonna last 90 minutes. And then obviously, I managed to have a good shoulder barge, stick him on the floor, and then bend one in the corner. So the celebration was like,
that's what it was about, it was more at the players,
you're like, hey, off, will you? You ain't got a clue. This is Zamo you're talking about.
This is Zamo. that was unreal that night.
But yeah, it was, and do you know what I mean? And that was a good side, a good Arsenal side as well. And to go there and win at Highbury, I mean, that place, that stadium, that grass.
Last away team to win there.
Yeah, man.
What a thing to be able to say.
Yeah,
amazing. I was in the stand.
Oh,
yeah. Travel with the squad in the stand.
Were you in
that before? What's
that? Bonus?
Nah, probably not, mate. No.
I think you would have done. Would have done. Thank you on that one again as well.
Thanks, mate.
Oh, nice. Cheers.
And Matty Everton got one that night as well.
Yeah.
Were you in Sol's ear at all that game? Or?
No, he went at halftime. Yeah. He never played for Arsenal again.
He never played for Arsenal again.
Didn't come back the second half. He got a cab home.
I heard he left at halftime.
Got a cab home at halftime because Bobby absolutely put him in the pipe.
That
was his last game.
Last game.
So Sol's in that bar.
Go on the other one.
Have you seen him since?
I have actually, in a nightclub, and he was good as gold. So
you didn't mention it?
No.
The FA Cup run is something that's, you know, that's a piece of West Ham history there. The final, still no nerves? Still?
No nerves at all. Actually, there was obviously the final. I see Dino at...
Has he told you the story? Do you tell it the same as in the team?
No. So I saw him at Luton versus Spurs, by the way, randomly this season. I was doing something for TV and he was doing radio. And before the game, I was having a little chit-chat with him. And he's going, mate, listen, what was your take on that FA Cup final thing? And I'll tell you how I saw it. Well, I never knew what happened with Dino or no one else's take on it. Running up to that FA Cup final, I was playing well. Obviously, Dino's injured. I'd come in and played a string of games and thought, doing very well. Dino was very touch and go. Well, to be honest, I didn't even think there was that much chance of him really starting just because he hadn't played any games at all. So I remember sitting down in the changing room before the game and the manager reading out the team. And obviously, it gets to the forwards and he says Dino, and I don't even know. Literally, as soon as he says Dino, I know I'm not playing, and I literally have no idea what happens for the next 5 minutes.
Really?
Like, no idea. I don't know where.
Fuming?
No, not anger. Just more like, what?
What's just happened?
Just shocked.
He never told you, never gave me the heads up.
No, nothing. Nothing.
That's strange.
But I remember looking at looking up and Teddy Sheringham being straight in my eye line, and Ted going, it's all right. It's all right. And I was like, and then a couple of boys coming over afterwards, and that's when it sort of okay. Like he obviously had read the team, and then had a little chit chat, and afterwards it was like, oh, okay, all right, cool, fine, sound. Listen, crack on. If I get a chance, try and do the best I can. And that's how it was. Whereas I think Dino told it
as in, he named the team the night before, apart from you or him up top.
Okay,
and then got told in the dressing room, but it's. Still bonkers to find out that close to a game as well. And not have a chance to pull you as well and speak to you, you know?
But it must have been, you must have thought, well, I'm definitely going to get on because Dino had been injured for a while. So you knew you were going to feature.
Yeah, but I was just in a good place and I thought, you know, I could do well. Just, yeah, it is what it is though. But
we both must have been fuming sat on the bench. I didn't play either.
We just slacked off everyone on the pitch for 95 minutes.
Right back, didn't he?
Ginge, what about him? What about him?
Who were you rooming with at this time?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't think we did. You've asked this before.
You had your own rooms by then.
I probably would have been with Gabs, but I think there was an option of on your own by then, wasn't there? I can't remember
I had a DVD copy of Bobby Zmora's Playoff Diary, which was a sensational DVD.
Just slagging off. I'm going to re-release that on on YouTube or something, to be honest, because it's
so funny. It's one of the rare pieces of like football documentary where you actually get to know the characters a bit. Yeah. There'd been nothing like it. It's brilliant.
Do you know what it was?
It's really good.
Brighton had done one the year before in the playoffs. And the guys in the media team, it was obviously a success for them because they'd gone up and it was banner and it was behind the scenes. And one of the characters in that changing room and in that team was Charlie Oatway. And he's just honestly ruthless. And they said, listen, do you want to film some stuff around like the little build up in the hotel? And just if you go up, cool. If not, you know, we'll just clip it for you and some memories for you, whatever. I was like, yeah, cool, no worries. So I'm going around the hotel just absolutely ripping everyone, like on the bus, everything. But I remember giving it to the guys afterwards, and they'll be like, oh, amazing, mate, we try and make something of this. And then phoning him back a couple of days later and saying, by the way, we can't use half of what you say because you're actually just abusing everyone with too much. You cannot put this out there. Everyone was getting it on that DVD. But listen, if you like it, if you haven't seen it, let us know. Let these guys know. And maybe they'll stick it on to...
Someone has a copy of it.
We can get it out there, can't we?
Yeah, I remember the banter with Stephen Bywater that he was a bit thick.
A bit.
I mean, that was one theme of the DVD that really came through very strong from you.
I actually can't remember.
He got peppered by Water, didn't he?
Yeah.
Like, with a banter.
What a guy. Listen, he come on, didn't he? And first thing he had to do was save that free kick bottom corner. But Jimmy... No, it wasn't that. That wasn't the final.
That was the year before. That was the playoff year before.
Bywater, I mean, yeah, amazing. But comes on.
Yeah.
But, funny guy. Good banter. Good, yeah.
I'm sure Stephen Bywater just used to eat plates of broccoli.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
With tomato sauce on.
Tomato sauce.
That, why does that... That sticks in my head. Randomly.
Do you remember his little MMA?
Yeah, he used to like... He was...
He went away one summer, didn't he? We finished the end of the season and he went to America. And before MMA was big, he just trained to do MMA. And him coming back pre-season, just wanting to get everybody in a headlock.
He was just fighting everyone, wasn't he? Do you know one of them as well? He's just really strong. He's trying to have a bit of crack, but he was really hurting.
Oh, yeah. Like joking people out. Like
joking people out in the training. Slow down, mate. Slow down.
I actually remember, because of that DVD, who you sat next to on the bus on the way to the...
Go on.
It might be the player. He might play on final. Chris Powell.
Was it Powley?
Yeah, Chris Powell, yeah.
Why was that?
Did I need a car next to me? It's the one serious bit of the whole thing because you have a good interview with him. You're like, what were you most nervous about in your career? And he's like, oh, when I first played for England.
Oh, okay.
I need to see this.
Yeah, we need to dig it out. We can't talk about the FA Cup final, however, without mentioning the penalty.
Yes.
You were first up. And did you volunteer for that?
I was happy as Larry to take a penalty.
I
remember walking up there. No nerves at all, which is absolutely mad when I think about it now. Nothing. We had Peter Cech come in and he was obviously Ludo's pal and he came in from Chelsea, just neutral keeper, not knowing anyone. Everyone had to take six penalties. I took three on my left and three on my right, scored them all. Walking up there, all right, I know what I wanted to do. And I said it the other day. Looking back, I probably should have just taken it with my right foot, smashed it straight down the middle. Because I always think, but that's in hindsight in terms of learning and understanding a little bit more about the game. And if I was to take a penalty late doors in a game, I'd always stick it down the middle. So that would be on my right foot. If it was in a game and a normal sort of time, I'd go for a placement with my left foot. Looking back now, keepers in the 85th minute onwards, if you don't move, you are getting pelted. And the same, I think, in a cup final as well. Like if a keeper doesn't move, like, and it goes into a bottom corner, it goes somewhere, you definitely, so I just think head high, keepers now, looking back, I would have done that. But
what minute did you come in the final?
Ten minutes before the end of 90, and then obviously we had to. I was behind Stevie G. We're then.
I was going to say, was you on the pitch when he scored?
Yeah,
I can't remember.
Behind him. But now walking up there, everything goes into the bottom corner. Unfortunately, Reina goes the right way, goes the right corner, and yeah, is what it is. Really, again, yeah. Should I have studied a little bit more? Not necessarily him, but. Listen, I've taken, I don't know, 20 penalties. How many of them have been in that bottom left corner? I think a lot of them for Brighton. I would have taken quite a few penalties and would have stuck them down in that bottom left-hand corner. So really...
You think he did his homework?
Oh, maybe. Reina must have. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know how big it was back then. But certainly as a goalkeeper, if you've got one thing, one major job, one thing that's going to come up, is it not worth knowing?
Yeah.
Really, for you know, a couple of hours study. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe should have winged it up there. But hindsight, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is what it is. Gutted. Absolutely
well,
gutted.
Well, yeah, afterwards. Yeah. Is it a hard one?
Yeah. That, I said earlier about losing the game and it's gone. Not that one. And still now. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
Still mentioned all the time, innit?
Shit. Hit the target, though. Didn't miss.
There's
a difference. Justify, please.
Made me feel a bit bad.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to believe after the success of the 05-06 season that the following season would be Pard's last season. And it's quite, we all know it, eventually we stayed up with the Great Escape, but the wheels just seem to come off that early part of the following season. And I don't think anyone saw it coming.
Do you think... Do you think we was having ourselves a little bit? Do you think we got a bit too... Not having ourselves. Do you think we got a bit too confident?
Maybe, because I don't know what it was, because we every week we'd go in and we'd go better than this. Look at you. You're all better than who you played up against today, or you know, you definitely can do better. I don't know what the reason was, but when push came to shove, yeah, we had enough about us, but we shouldn't have been in that position.
Mm.
We shouldn't have been in that position. And I was in a similar one with QPR, but that was different because the changing room wasn't good, because that was a toxic place, whereas the one at West Ham wasn't. So it was baffling. And then the realisation came, you need some aura a little bit more, but let's play.
I've worked out what the problem is.
Get some aura.
Carlos guest talked about, mate. I put it all down to you.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, I'm a top goal scorer, that season. Don't like saying it. Didn't get any. but no, listen. We had to produce the goods, and we managed to go on that good run. But yeah, I think
20 points in March. I think we won. You remember sitting down? Lucas was skipper, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And having a chat and just thinking, I don't think there was ever a point, though. I don't know if you'd say the same, Bob, that we actually thought we were going down.
As a fan, I can tell you the exact date. After that Spurs game, I was like, well, this is, as a fan, I was like, well, we're done now.
But then we went to Blackburn, didn't we? Remember
Blackburn? Tev tried to clear it off the line. Yeah, didn't he?
This is the one I wanted to ask you about. It's quite a big game for you personally.
Yeah.
The controversial, you score the winner in that game, West Ham win 2-1, but when you look at the replay, you're like, that's
just run off as a striker, you shoot, you just run off, you do that, like VAR.
He's offside and it's not gone over the line.
Yeah, and then it's just about us convincing the referee in the lineup.
Go. We're off, aren't we?
You're off, you run, you celebrate. What's he going to do? Why is he going to clear it? Don't be so stupid. Ref? Last game, mate, if you do that.
Carlos gets a penalty as well in that game, and then the whole Blackburn team want to kill him because they think he's dived. Yeah. I actually don't think he has dived. But then you go and take on, you're pinning back the whole Blackburn team.
Big Chris Samba, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, big Chris Samba. So I thought,
Chris Samba scored in that game, Ginge. You remember you were marking him. Do you know who blocked?
Cheers for that, mate.
Do you know who blocks your run?
Who?
Big Marlon. He blocks.
Yeah,
your
I do remember that. To be fair, it would have taken two or three of us to mark Chris Samba.
Yeah,
I was a bit shocked. It was just me on my own.
What is going on
there?
He
was a big boy.
That goal, the way he scores that header from a corner, he just towers into he's enormous, man.
Yeah, massive. He played centre forward a couple of times as well.
Yeah, when they were Big Sam, wasn't it?
Big Sam.
Big Sam. Bang.
Absolute
put it up there.
Handful.
All right, West Ham fans, one way you can support Ironcast and help us rocket up the charts and beat off the competition from other official football clubs podcasts
like Chelsea and like Spurs, is to get a 5-star rating or review from you. Support me and Ginger on the podcast, chuck us a 5-star rating and review, and help us rocket up the charts where West Ham belong, at the top of the table. Back on with the show.
Another big game that you play in the Emirates against Arsenal away. You just always seem to produce the goods for West Ham.
This is one of my favourite games in the world to talk about.
I
talk about this all the time.
Your favourite West Ham memory, Ginge? One of them up there?
It's definitely up there because we were getting peppered. We got absolutely battered that game. Yes. They had 38 shots or something. And we had one.
I just remember just wave after wave after wave. Green, he had a great one. Didn't he? He had an unbelievable.
He was due one, mind, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was due one. He put us under.
He actually caught a few of that game, I think, as well.
Did he?
Yeah. Actually did, yeah.
Madness.
I'm sure it's the stat, somebody might tell me different. Yeah. It was something like 38 chances they had. Greeny was on fire. Everyone was blocking, chucking themselves in the way of stuff. I don't know if you remember. Can you remember Nobbs' tackle early doors in that game? I don't know. It was in the bottom right-hand corner in front of the West Ham fans. He smashed someone. And he got up early doors. And then I think you scored not long after that. And then it is literally backs against the wall. Everyone, I think Yossi cleared one off the line. Yeah. Like, he's never done that in his life. It was just mental.
Do you know what I remember as well after that? That team, that Arsenal team, seems so angry, babies as well. Like, I think Fabregas or Van Persie, I don't know who it was, like really throwing their toys at the pram. Like,
how has that just happened? Like, do you
know, not shaking your hand after the game.
They were, we weren't on the level, sort of thing. Like, it was great. 1-0 at the Emirates.
A result like that, what did it do for the team? What was the reaction like in the dressing room?
I think it was about $2,500 when it went bonus.
Was it that? No, it couldn't have been. We were too low in the league for that.
On to the next one. Bring it. We're just like, it was almost like going back a year, I think. And
did we not go?
That was the year we struggled, wasn't it? That was the year we struggled, wasn't it?
Yeah. Was that not the year? Did we go to Sheffield United away? Maybe
we lost then.
Lost 3-0, and then again, it's like, oh no. Yeah. That's set us back a little bit. But then the next game had come, and maybe Everton at home.
1-0.
1-0. Yeah. 1-0 Zamora.
Top corner left foot.
Doesn't get the credit he deserves. Everyone talks about
Carlos. On that run.
Well, I'm going to say it because of me. Everyone talks about Carlos. I think it was Bobby. And I also always say we kept 5 clean sheets in 9 games.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give myself.
Yeah, Greeny.
Greeny was superb.
But Carlos, he was so. In training,
he didn't try a leg, did he?
He just didn't try a leg. But on a Saturday, like, he'd run his socks off. So mad, isn't it? You can do that. And some players are like that. Some are just like, I mean, Mascherano in training, he was incredible, really, really good. And I remember he'd finish training, he'd go and get on the treadmill for 45 minutes, just do that every day because he knew we weren't going to play. Whereas Tevos couldn't care.
His laces up, did he?
Be out there, walk about, like that. And then on a Saturday, work his socks off. But one thing I remember with Carlos and me at that time when we was going on that run, it was Kerbs ended up playing sort of like 4-5-1. And the one would be either me or Tevez. But if you lost the ball, you had to fill in that sort of right wing sort of slot, that extra fifth player there. And there'd be a turnover and we'd both look at each other to
who's
see
going?
Who's closest to that right wing. Whoever's closest runs there. And it'd just be a chuck, it's you, off you go. But he'd peg it. But we're both happy to do it. But it was just good, a good bit of banter throughout the game as well. Well, I'm out there, Carlos, good lads. Up and down, up and down.
Pretended not to speak English, but he clearly can't understand you. Yeah, you can, mate.
Yeah, and you and Carlos at that great escape run, you're there week in, week out. Again, another good partnership.
A great player, works his socks off, enjoyed it.
It all came down to Old Trafford, getting a 1-0 win in the rain. Again, more heroics in defence.
Can I say something about that?
I thought you were going to say about me, Barnett.
No, why?
Have you seen the video?
No, what?
When it's going and it's slicked over and it's just like...
No, Bobby Charlton.
Bobby Charlton going on. Bit of clever Coleman.
One thing I remember about that game, obviously, we are, again, back against the wall, trying hard to get something from the game. And we've got that situation, me and Tev, whenever you lose it, one of you fill in and do that. obviously, when you're filling in against Man United, we were back in on our 18-yard line or whatever it was. I remember a ball comes over, like a diag, and I'm obviously on that right side, and the ball's coming over, and it's into the box area. Like, there's bodies in there. And everyone's screaming, away, away. Striker at the back.
Don't worry,
completely clued. Away, away, away. I'm like getting towards the 6-yard box. Ball's coming towards me. I just go, boom, and chest it back to Greeny into his hands. And I'm like, yeah, calm down, you lot. Don't worry. I got this. What am I doing? How lucky was that? I could have gone anywhere. Fish up a tree. Really. But yeah, an amazing game. Again, the buzz afterwards. Again, the friends and family, that whole lead up, desperate, coming down. Not really.
Do you remember the triple substitution late on they made?
No, go on. Oh. Gigs.
They had won the league, and they did play. There's a strong team they played, but I think it was Gigs, Ronaldo, Scholes came on like 72 minutes. Yeah. And I'm already blowing out my pipe at this point and thinking, oh no. And somehow, again, Yossi won off the line late doors. Greeny played well. Me and Anton done all right.
Yeah.
And just mental time.
Doesn't it show like what that team was capable of? Like that run.
Yeah.
Could have easy, like.
Exactly that. We shouldn't have been in that position. No way. Like you say, if we'd have sort of replicated those last 10 games or whatever it was at any other time during the season, we'd have been cushy and flying and up there again, I think.
So. I described that last 9 games as probably the best football I played and shouldn't be one of my best memories. It shouldn't be because we almost got relegated. But what was happening and the run we went on is probably... Mm. One of my fondest memories at West Ham, even though we almost got relegated.
What was the coach trip like back from Old Trafford after a result like that? Do you remember? Beers on the coach in the season?
Yeah. Oh, they would have been for sure. Yeah. I think I went, I've said it on here before, I think I went straight to the new bar in my tracksuit. I'm sure I did. Because my family were up there, Samantha was up there, my wife. And, no, we flew. So we flew back and I was back. I was probably drunk by the time my family made it back to London because they had to drive back and I was on the plane.
Yeah.
In my tracksuit.
Amazing. Nah, just honestly, that changing room was special.
Well, that we were buzzing and they had won the league, so they had their
double
party.
Their sort of, you know, getting the trophy and all that after the game, didn't it? But we felt like we had won the league.
Yeah. Soaking wet in that corner at Old Trafford. I think they were like, hurry up and get off the pitch, will you? We were like, nah, come on.
They must have been sat there going, have they won the league or have we won the league? What's going on here?
That is such a great day. Following season, though, your injury, tendonitis, I saw like didn't feature as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
That must have been disappointing.
Yeah, it was a bit. That was towards the back end of the season, though, that was. But again, not as many games as I wanted, but I think I scored a few goals and was doing well. And I think, I don't know if it was that. Was that the season that? When did Matty Upson and Parker and Dyer and Bellas come that year?
Yeah, that was the other year of the Icelandics. '07-'08.
With Egert, that's it. Because the back end of that season is when I left after that season. But again, tendonitis towards the end of the season. And I remember Egert, where did we finish in that season?
All right, I think it was like mid-table. It was like 10th, something like that, around there or thereabouts. Yeah, getting the thumbs up, it was 10th.
I remember Egert saying to me, I need you to be fit. And I wasn't training, but I was having injections and playing on a Saturday and doing well and scoring goals. And I remember them buzzing with it. And obviously, they had so many of the new boys come in on big dough, weren't they? Mm-hmm. They were all on big dough. And it was a conversation about me getting a new contract. And I was like, brilliant. All right. So that was towards the end of the season. I think the last 4 or 5 weeks, I didn't train. I just play on a Saturday, score, of course, and get us up the table, get the bonios good for Ginge. And I remember going away at the end of the season, and there being talks of new contracts. All right, yeah, we'll have the conversation. Dragged on for 6 weeks, like, frustrating, annoying, yeah. Get back that first week, go into training, happy as Larry, like, come on in, right, I'm ready to go, rest, smash this season. And as I go in one morning, Curbs wants to see you. I was like, oh, okay. What's he got for me? Let's see. So I go in, I sit down. We've just accepted an offer from Fulham. I was like, what? Like somebody hit me around the head with a bat. I had no idea. I was in there like a week before with Scott Duxbury. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. And then to get that one, I was like, devastated. You're not going to play much this year. So I think, So I went that day to Fulham and see Roy. Sign then, so yeah, gutted though, because I just thought, changing
last thing on your mind.
Yeah, I just loved the club, didn't want to go, but it was sort of spelled out for me, and I was like, oh no,
I can't believe that. I thought, like, I never actually knew why you left. I would have assumed, I don't know.
No,
it didn't make sense because the fans wanted you there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Really don't know. But yeah, just being gutted, really, like really, really gutted. As I say, it was complete shock because. One hand, I was getting a new contract like all summer. Brilliant, amazing, fantastic. Another, however many, 4 or 5 years, whatever it is at West Ham, they'd be amazing, brilliant, good team. Like investments coming, got some good players coming in. We're gonna push on. Not use ammo.
You're off, mate.
But obviously, you know what happens.
Did you know anything about it before? You just literally
didn't
even have a sniff.
No,
for your agent, nothing.
No, you, nothing.
Curbs, cool. Right? You're off.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I was like, a bit shocked.
And now, do you get to come to games?
No, no one ever invites me from West Ham.
There you go.
Let's get why laughing? Despite saving the club in 2005.
Yeah, why are you laughing? Seriously.
It's out there now.
Yeah. It's always welcome. We're at recommended retail price of 75 quid a ticket.
I remember speaking to you about this before. And stop me if I'm wrong in saying this. You're not a massive football fan, Bobby, are you?
No, I am a football fan. I am not a stato, and I wouldn't watch Burnley versus Reading or Burnley versus Sheffield United, for instance.
You're something of a Burnley.
No, but I'm just trying to
put it into context.
Listen, when there's Man United versus Barcelona, I'll get it on. And love to watch a great game of footy. Like, again, I would have watched football if my pals are playing. Would have been more interesting for me. Oh, it's like two of me boys up against each other. Let's have a see how they get on, rather than just any other game that's on TV. And listen, there are players, your Danny Murphys of the world, that will watch every single game out there, whatever it is, and fine, great, happy for you. But not for me. And I say it, and I've said it so many times, if you're a painter and decorator, you don't go and paint and do all your bits and pieces all day. Get home and stick changing rooms on, do you? No, you don't. Or when you're down the pub with your pals, everyone's asking you what Dulux emulsion should you use. Like, after a while, it gets a little bit too much. So
it's a great analogy.
I'm just trying to put it into context. And people go, "Oh, I can't believe that you're bad. You shouldn't be playing football." No, mate. When I finished footy, I used to go home and just switch off, go and actually put my fingers in the plug socket, recharge for next day, where I could come in at breakfast in the morning and rip the lads as they come through the door. So yeah, my battery span was like from about 8:30 in the morning till about 1 in the afternoon. And after that, you wouldn't recognise me. I'd be at home just like, just take the dog for a walk, just chill out,
Bit of fishing.
Yeah, bit of fishing, mate. Yeah, exactly.
You're a great person to follow on Instagram because you have such a varied life.
Yeah, it's probably not what...
But you can look at your Instagram and not even know you used to be a West Ham legend, like a professional footballer.
Yeah, it's not too much footy stuff really on there. No,
a lot of gym,
like a lot of gym,
a little bit of gym. Yeah,
absolutely.
You and
Rio Ferdinand, the two blokes have finished football and just absolutely. Got
I remember you when you were playing though. You liked the gym, didn't you? Remember those
at the end, mate. I think I've seen
Bobby doing. I can't do one wide arm chin up. Don't know what it is. Can't do it. Not strong enough. He used to do them at 20, 10, 15, I don't know, with 40 kilo around his waist.
I don't know. I found something that keeps me busy after playing footy, I suppose. A little bit of a challenge, but I enjoy it. But the body's getting old now. So honestly, feel old, yeah. It's not fun. I just come in here. I'm getting up out of this seat now. I'm just going to be hobbling for the next 20, 30, 40 steps and then I might have the limp. Everyone thinks I'm like some sort of rude boy. That's just my hips can't move anymore.
The wear and tear.
Ginge, have we missed any Bobby memories that we haven't covered here? Anything from the dressing room that maybe no one's ever heard
just
before?
Just being that time, I'm sure we have mentioned it, but that time, 2000, when I first came, FA Cup final, that time, just being around Bob, being around that dressing room. Like, if you could put anyone in it, it was just the best time, honestly. We were like, I said it to Anton, we were like, it was like going to work with your best mates, wasn't it? Having banter, doing really well on the pitch, enjoying ourselves. It was just a great time to be a young lad. Me moved up from South Wales in London with these boys. It was incredible.
Could you imagine literally going back, mate? If in our lifetime they bring out a time machine, I'm telling you now, I'm going back to that year. Really, genuinely. Yeah. Just to see what those lads are like the changing room. I'll be honest with you, we didn't have social media. We didn't have any of that because it wasn't there. But I think that's a blessing though, because I don't know for a fact, but from what I understand is lads come in from the training ground, lads come in off the pitch on a Saturday and they're like that, which
straight on the blower.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think we used to come in from training because we didn't have that, because we didn't have social media. It was right. Who can get it?
But it was everyone though, wasn't
everyone.
It?
Everyone.
Can you remember Christian Daly always being really angry though?
Oh, he used to get...
I remember he'd lovely fella, Christian, but he was a little bit older and we were all probably a little bit chirpy. I remember once I knocked his... We were playing two touch in the dressing room and I knocked a bad touch as usual, knocked his coffee over him. He stood up and hit this ball, took the mirror clean off the wall in the dressing room. Everyone's a bit like... He was fuming. He'd get involved, but yeah, he wasn't happy.
I probably the other end of the train.
Calm
down, Christian. Yeah,
I think I was opposite him and bad touch, knocked his coffee. He was fuming.
Did you have a fight with him?
I hope not. I might have done. I wouldn't have. It wasn't my choice.
Christian had a tear up with someone, didn't he? Is it Mazza? Who did he? Another big boy.
Nah, probably Roy. Was it not Roy? Roy Carroll?
Maybe, yeah. Two big guys. I remember thinking, God, I want to get into my head. He's one of these.
Christian's another big guy who's like finished football and he's absolutely massive.
He was a machine in there.
Outrageous in the gym.
Yeah. He was a machine. Yeah.
He was another one for the chin-ups.
Yeah.
James, what's your biggest memory of 2005-06? The boys doing chin-ups in the gym.
Me watching,
thinking, I can't do that.
Oh, man. Oh, it's been so good to reminisce, Bobby. Such great memories. I'd just love to have been... I wish on the DVD we could see you sat in the...
Go on, that's your challenge. That's your challenge, right? If anyone's got a good copy of it, because I don't think I have a copy either. Get a good copy of that and someone really try and monetize it, you guys, and stick it onto YouTube. You've got yourself a little bit of a winner there.
I think that royalties.
Oh man, cancel your Christmas Day plans. Get on Bobby's Morris Playoff Diary DVD.
We can get that out beforehand. It's your Christmas Day, your Boxing Day. Boxing Have enjoyed Day, Christmas with the family, everyone. Boxing Day, enjoy that. It's a cracker.
It's a cracker.
Well, Bobby, it's been brilliant Absolutely chatting to amazing. You. And you're welcome back at London Stadium anytime. I think I speak on behalf of the club when I say you can come anytime you want. And I know we've got Burnley coming up later on this season. And maybe that's the one for you.
Oh, he's fishing.
Cheers, mate.
Brilliant stuff, Bobby Zmora. Thank
cheers,
you.
Bob.
And thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this one. We'll be back again next week. So until then, come on, you Irons.
Podcast Network.